Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Yes, welcome, 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 everybody. It is Tuesday night, right around 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And you're listening to the Scoreboard Sports Show. My name is Tony, and I'm going to be joined shortly by the guys. You know, they're always a little tardy, but don't tell them I said so. But somebody got to open up the show. I missed you guys. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been on the show. A lot has been happening. So I thank you guys for being patient and look forward to a great show. There's a lot going on in the sports world, and just not sports. There's a little bit of politics mixed in. And everybody seems to be in their feelings with what's going on in the world of sports today. But let's get this show popping because, you know, we always run out of time talking about so much. And I know the guys are going to be chomping a bit to get in here. But let me just go ahead and pay some bills because we got to keep the lights on for the boss lady herself. Now, make sure you pick up that Heat by the boss lady. That is Nene Capri. You can pick them up on Amazon, Nook, Audiobooks, and everywhere books are sold. Some of the titles that her name is attached to, she is known worldwide as the P-Trap Lady. That is the Pussy Trap Lady and the Trust No Bitch Lady that she co-wrote with Cash Street Lit Author. Make sure you check him out. And she has Dreamweaver as well as Diamonds, Pumps, and Glocks. Now, very shortly, P-Trap Part 5 will be out. Amazon is just giving her a little bit of a headache getting it out. I don't know why. But, you know, she's working on it. She's going to have that heat in the hands of her trappers shortly. Now, in addition to Nene, she also has Nene Capri Presents. So she has some authors under that umbrella. Some of them include The Wrath by Rance McNeil. That's a hot, hot read. That's also a hot cover, so check him out. And she also has Sinful Lust by the beautiful Imani Hilton. She's working on part two for that. And let's not leave out that Devious Deception by S. Chameleon. That's parts one and two. Now make sure you tune in every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. around this time. We be talking that talk on all things sports. And I do see we have somebody in the studio with their hand up. So let me just go ahead and bring them in. And let's get this show pop, pop, popping. Welcome to the Scoreboard. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, baby?
How you doing, Jeff? Get yourself situated now.
I'm situated. I'm good. I'm good, baby. What's happening? You done paid the bills. Everything's good.
Bills.
You done had an anniversary. Happy 25th anniversary, by the way.
Thank you.
And let me say happy anniversary to Mr. Tony. So, forget about it.
I'm sure he's gonna appreciate that title. Oh man, I gotta make sure I tell him that.
Yes, please. Thank you, guys. Pass it on. It's not a problem.
Absolutely. We had a great time. We were out of country. I haven't been caught up in sports. We went to Geneva. You hear me, Geneva? I'm sorry.
Nice.
I got work on the brain. Not Geneva. We went to Grenada. I have a Geneva case at work, so I apologize. My D's are getting all mixed up. A little dyslexic
it's
here.
All good.
But I'm going to get back
it's
into the swing of things.
Excellent word.
Mr. Louis, how you doing, Mr. Louis Mack?
Hey, I can't complain. Ready to talk the talk and all that good stuff. One thing I do ask, Ms. Tony, because I'm sure you have the number off the top of your head, can you give the people out there listening the number so that way if they feel like they need to call in and try to one-up one of us or, you know, try to be a little bit smarter than one of us so that we can put them down real quickly? Give them that opportunity.
Well, you know,
we're going to play
Louis,
something suave here.
Absolutely. You know, this week they may have one or two up on me because I've been, like I told you, out of the loop for the week. But, you know, I'm just going to keep rolling along with this.
We got you back. Don't sweat.
We got you.
Those that are listening on the radio, you won't be able to press your one, so you're going to have to call into the show. And the number into the studio is 347-826-7011. You press your number one and we'll bring you on into the clubhouse and you can talk that talk and express your opinion. You may be able to one up on me tonight, but don't think you're going to last forever.
Hey, I got your back, Tony. I got your back, Tony.
We got you.
So it's all good. So Jazz, get us started, buddy. Get us started.
Okay. For everybody who might have been under a rock, like Miss Tony, we had a major boxing event, Triple G for Canelo Alvarez. And it was a great fight. It was a fight that everybody talking about because the fight ended in a draw. Yes, people, a draw. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, me personally, I think that Canelo won by 3 rounds. But depending on who you talk to, some people believe Triple G won by 3 rounds. Some people believe, so it's going back and forth. There has to be a part two. But one thing I will say, if I'm Triple G, 35 years old, I would go and knock out Billy Joe Saunders. I would grab all the other belts. Then I would fight Canelo. Win, lose, or draw, and then I retire. Simple as that.
Oh. All right.
Now, Jazz, I got a question for you, Jazz. As somebody is, you know, not as well-versed in the boxing world, how can there be such a discrepancy in how people are judging the fight? Like, how can the official judges say it's a draw, but, like, other people, like, because I saw it with the Mayweather-McGregor fight where people on Twitter and stuff were saying McGregor's up by, like, 17 points, but then when you look at the official scorecard, it was only up by, like, 2. Is that just people playing Homer, like wanted to go a certain way, or is that just a discrepancy in the judges?
Well, because judges are human, every judge has a different – every judge sits on a different side of the ring. So one viewpoint – one judge may have one viewpoint where the other judge may not.
One judge could see a body shot that the other one couldn't.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Ah.
So for that, because you have different perspectives, they each see a different fight. But all the cars, as far as all the cars should be in the same general area. But Miss Bird, she had to fight 118-110 for Canelo. That means that she basically said that Triple G only won 2 rounds. That's just, there's no way. There's no way if you watch that fight that Triple G only won 2 rounds. So that was the biggest discrepancy because she had a 118-110. Another judge had it even, and another judge had it like 115-113. So the other two were in the realm. Because if you got one even and another one, you got a guy winning by a round or two, and this lady got him winning by 10 rounds. Does that make sense? So right now, they're looking into her. She was actually supposed to be a judge on a UFC card this weekend, but the UFC decided not to use her, and she's been suspended right now, pending investigation into the fact of her having such a disparity between her and the other two judges. So, which
now,
usually means that they probably. What are you about to say?
I will say, does that just mean they're looking for like a paper trail to see if she's been paid off by somebody, or
well,
is that or?
I hate to use the word paid off, but what they're going to do is, for instances like this, they actually have the judge come in, and the commission will have her watch the fight, and as she's watching the fight, she's describing why she gave him a point, why that. She has explained, so she's going to have to rewatch the whole fight and explain to them why she gave Canelo so many rounds, so many of the close rounds. So that's how the commission does it. Now, paper trails, you know, that maybe there is a paper trail from De La Hoya to her. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when there's discrepancies like that, the commission usually, that's usually the next step. They had a person come in, mm-hmm. they'll rewatch the fight together. And, you know, if they deem that she judged it correctly, then nothing happens. If she judged it incorrectly, she will be suspended.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Wow.
And they have to announce it.
Now, that's interesting. That's interesting, Jazz, that you say the judges are on different sides of the ring, because I always thought the judges sat together. So that's news to me.
Well, in some fights they do, but it depends on how they position it. Sometimes you can have a fight where they'll say, okay, all of y'all sit here. That's fine. It depends on the state.
Mm-hmm.
Each state is different. Like I know in Las Vegas, they all sit in different sides of the ring. Like one is
mm-hmm.
sit to the east, one is sit to the west, one is sit to the north.
Mm-hmm.
So they all get to see different aspects of the fight, because like Louis said, if you have a fighter with his back to you and he throws a body shot, one of them judges should see it. But if they're all sitting together, then nobody sees it.
Oh,
only thing
gotcha.
You see is the guy fell. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That's a good point, because you want to see it from all angles.
Absolutely. And so you'll have sometimes where a guy land a headbutt and the ref will call it. And the judges will be like, okay, he headbutted him. Okay, fine. They all have to jot that
mm-hmm.
down. But on instances where you're talking about body shots, shots to the head, flurries, combinations, you know, they all, I mean, you can see, if you're looking at a fighter's back, you can see what he's doing. I mean, it's not a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The man's got a body shot. You can see that. I don't care if you're looking behind him or in front of him. So we'll see how that turns out. So we'll see. I keep my eyes open on that one.
Now I got one
we
more question for you.
Hold that question right quick. Lou, we have a hand up there. Someone wants to weigh in on what Mr. Jazz is talking about. We have 973-517. You're live in the clubhouse. What's your name and where you calling from?
Good evening, y'all. It's Gibbs.
Hey, Gibbs.
Hey, Gibbs. Hey, baby.
You know it hurts my feelings to call because I'm not happy with the Giants record, but let me not talk about them right now. So,
okay.
Boxing, like, I really do hear this, like, what Mr. Jazz is saying. Some people, you know, like, for different boxers. So, my whole thing is, like, I just really want to know, like, who really won, because it's, like, it's even, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes
like I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's fair. One for, I don't know their names by heart, but one for this one and one for the other one. And
yeah.
I really want to know who won.
Well, mm-hmm. like I said, if you ask
That's
me, Canelo won. If you ask me. But Like I said, I could name you five people right now who think Triple G won. So,
but that's how I feel. It's like it's an even amount every time I ask. But not in watch it. So now I'm feeling some type of way because I don't know the truth.
Yeah, you'll have to watch it. You have to watch it because there were a lot of close rounds in that fight. There were a lot of close rounds. And a lot of people, you know, like I said, you know, that's one of those fights where Gibbs, you need to watch it, real talk. You need to watch it. And then you make your own decision because, like I said, I thought Canelo won, but there are a bunch of people who think Triple G won. There are some people I met who said that they believe that the fight was even. It was a tie.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear no one say that.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on your perspective. But the end of the fight, because it was a draw, everybody gets to keep their belts.
And what about the purse? How do they do the purse? They split down the middle?
Oh, the purse is going to be distributed however they, you know, they're both going, you know, they're going to split the purse however they were supposed to split it via the contract. The decision has nothing to do with the money. The money's still going to be distributed.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that ain't got nothing to do with the money. Just because it's tied on me, everybody don't make money. Everybody going to still make money.
Okay,
which
gotcha.
Means that there will be a second fight because people like Gibbs are like, who won? And it depends on who you talk to. It's like, dude, we need to do it again. So there's
more people tuned in.
Oh, yeah, it was a good fight.
More people
will
be tuned in.
It was a good fight. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was a good fight.
Okay, well, we got to keep us posted on that round two.
Oh, absolutely. And Gibbs, make sure you're listening because I plan on kicking your team's back in before the night's over. Just so you know.
No, I'm already upset about that. I'm so serious because this is my argument over and over. We need to learn how to stop depending on Odell Beckham Jr. Yes, he's good, but guess what? When he's injured or for whatever unable to play, we need to be able to play without him.
Odell Beckham
Jr.
is great. Not good. He's great.
Too much. What you say?
I said, you can't call him. He's not good. OBJ's not good. He's phenomenal. He's great.
Well, he's all of that and some more, but still we have to learn how to, you know, win games without him.
Well, you know, it's funny because before the Dallas game, if you looked at Eli's face, you knew they was going to lose just by the look on his face.
Hold on. You can't say that because Eli Manning has the same goofy-looking face on his face no matter what. That man looks at the camera like he has no idea where he is or what just happened at all times.
Since we
segued into football, I want to just mention on something that Gibbs and Louis said. You know, which is a good point. Odell Beckham, I'm going to have to disagree slightly with Louis by saying he's great. He's not great because he hasn't won a ring. When he wins a ring, I put that great in front of him, okay? But he is phenomenal. I'm going to give him that. He's a phenomenal player. Now,
we're not talking basketball where one
distraction.
Guy.
We're
not talking basketball, though, where LeBron James can win a title by himself or MJ can be the only scoring person and win six titles. We're not talking about a team where if you have two or three superstars, you're the best in the league. We're talking about the ultimate team game where if all 11 people aren't on the same page, you will not win. So I can't hold it against OBJ because Eli Manning's trash and his O-line is trash and his running backs are trash.
I'm not going to co-sign with Eli being trash. I'm sorry. I am not in that. He is not trash. He may not be one of the elite quarterbacks. But he's not trash.
Miss Tony, excuse me, y'all. I have to hang up this phone, okay?
Okay, thanks for joining us.
I'm going to call on another phone because this one about to die.
All right, baby.
Okay.
No, but what I'm saying, though, is OBJ puts up his numbers constantly double-teamed, constant with the cover two shell over the top. He beats everybody no matter what. Like, that is greatness. Like, it doesn't matter if you put two on him and safety help over the top. He is going to find a way to make a play. I don't put it on him that his defense can't stop people. Or actually, the Giants' defense is actually pretty decent this year, so I'm not going to use that one. But Eli's making a lot of dumb mistakes and throwing a lot of interceptions. You can't win with that. You have zero running game right now. So everybody knows what you're going to do. And outside of one game from Sterling Shepard, none of his other receiving options, whether from tight end, running back, or wide receiver, have stepped up. That's not a hit on OBJ. I can't fault the man for doing everything.
He's been in the league for 4 years now, if I'm not mistaken, okay? It's just that the off the field, all the antics that – did you see? I know I only saw highlights on the plane coming in on Sunday night. Really? Did he have to just go through what he did to when he scored the touchdown? Really?
I just want to say,
those are the type of things that can be detrimental to a culture of a football team. And I'm really surprised that the New York Giants are allowing it. But as of today, because today the owner of the Giants has gotten to the point where it's just unacceptable. So I'm going to be interested to see how far it goes and how long it goes. But all those antics is just detrimental. If I was on that team and I listened to some former New York Giant players today talking about it, they would take him aside and really talk to him because it's a distraction to the team. It's a distraction to what it is that they're trying to achieve. All those different antics that he goes through is just detrimental to the culture of the New York Giants. And it doesn't start and end with ODB. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
I don't disagree with you. I think he is immature, but you said it. He's 4 years in, so he's still 24, 25 in that range. Like, I mean, to kind of date myself, I'm that old. Like, so I find myself doing stupid stuff like that all the time. Granted, I'm not on a national stage for everybody to see, but that's just the mindset of an early 20-year-old who's now got the fame and the spotlight on him. He's going to act a little goofy and act a little silly. He's going to grow out of it, I hope, for his sake. Because like you said, if this continues on, like say he doesn't re-sign with the Giants and he moves on to, you know, the Raiders or the Niners or any other franchise and these antics continue, then it's going to be an issue. But Michael Crabtree, when he was with the Niners, when he first got drafted, he held out for he missed almost his entire rookie season because he demanded more money. He was very immature about it, how he handled it, and he ended up costing himself, and, you know, it ended up getting him a ticket out of San Francisco when his contract came up. But now if you look at him, he's probably, I mean, on pure skill, Amari Cooper's better than him, but consistency, and I believe he's the best wide receiver for the Raiders right now, but you don't see that stuff from him anymore. He's very much put the helmet on, put the pads on, let's go play the game, let's go win, then come off the field, and then in our private time we can be how goofy we want. We don't hear about his goofiness or his immaturity anymore. Hopefully OBJ gets that.
Okay, yep, my point exactly with what you just said. Let's get out on the field and win and leave all the immaturity and all the look at me, I'm Mr. Football. Leave that off the field. It just hurts the team, and he doesn't seem to care. He plays selfish. You know, you got a whole team out there. Act like you want to win. I can't believe that the Giants are 0-3. That's just unacceptable if they want to get the most out of this season. Don't you laugh at that, Jack?
The fact he's either laughing at the fact that you're surprised that they're 0-3, or he's just happy that they are. I can't figure it out.
I mean, you know.
But seriously, that
O line,
that whole
O line,
it just needs to be revamped.
can we please segue into like Atlanta Falcons who haven't lost a game instead of talking about The whole way.
Jeez.
Wow, really, Jazz? All right. Let's talk about them dirty birds.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm still trying to figure out.
Okay.
Oh, man.
First of all, you listen to the scoreboard with Miss Tony, Mr. Jazz, and Mr. Louis Mack. First of all, and please call in because Miss Tony a little hot. And
Mr. Green,
we haven't even talked about Carmelo yet. Should we do it now?
Mr. Green calls in because I want to know his take on what the Steelers, why the Steelers stood in the locker room during the anthem this past weekend. So I really would like to hear. We got somebody on the way. Let's bring in 972-342. You're live on the scoreboard. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hello, Giz back again.
Hey,
y'all are funny though, but Mr. Green and my mother, they're upset right now because the Steelers lost to the Bears.
Yo, let's be clear. The Steelers.
You lost to Mike Glennon.
Yeah, no doubt, right? And dude, like, why are they upset? Are they upset because the Bears showed how to beat them? Or is it because Le'Veon Bell probably will not be a Steeler next year? Why are they more upset?
Hit straight for the heart next time, Jazz. Just go straight for the kill shot, man.
It's a lot more in the sports world, though, y'all.
God,
it is, because I can't believe
really
Carmelo leaving.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's not. Jazz is having a good time tonight.
I know he is. He only acting like that because the Raiders' score record is better than ours.
Dude, look, let's be clear. You have a two-man offense, and you've been winning with smoke and mirrors. You're not that good. You're really not.
And we're not as bad as we are.
Consistently, Joe Hayden is consistently getting burned. They just haven't found it yet. Dude, let's be real. You'll win your division.
Are we talking about the Giants or the Steelers right here? Because somebody said something about the Giants, and then you said Joe Hayden. I'm really kind of confused.
We're not doing bum talk. We're talking about at least teams with winning records. Okay.
So we're not doing bum talk. So we're not going to talk.
We're not doing bum talk no more. Okay.
So no Carmelo Anthony.
Let's talk about successful things. Oh, we'll see now. Now that's a whole nother. I'm trying to wait to see.
How do you feel about Carmelo leaving? Because I don't want to see him leave.
You don't want to see him leave? Well, he's gone, okay? He's gone.
But I don't like that.
God bless. Remind me to say I'm Jazz's good side tonight. Holy crap.
What do you want to do?
He's 35. I didn't want to see him leave, but you know, I hope he gets to OKC and they win a championship so he can shut up all you Melo haters. You know, those Melo haters I have on my show tonight.
Hold on. I appreciate what Melo does on the court. I appreciate Melo for what he is. He's a scorer, and he's a dominant scorer.
That's
not all he does for you, though. And it was time for New York, especially with Phil Jackson getting the can, it was time for the Knicks to cut bait on Melo and start building around Porzingis. That's all this shows. It's time for Porzingis to step up and be the man, and the Knicks to have a future space and a brand to build around moving forward. That's all
Ms. Tony. Ms. Tony, let's be clear.
Yes.
This is not ESPN Radio. Every team does not have a shot at the ring, okay? Certain teams, they're not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Let's be real. The Knicks
Can I
are
go
happy.
On me, please?
Okay, thanks for joining us, Giz.
Okay,
Ms.
baby, I'm sorry.
We would still like for him to join us, even if his team is losing.
Look, I'll say this. Tell Mr. Green, that's my man. I can't wait for Mr. Green, please. I need Mr. Green.
Dude,
right
I can't
now.
Miss Mr. Green. I miss him.
He won't show up because his team's losing.
Wow. Wow.
Uh-oh. Are you putting it out there for Mr. Green? Mr. Green, please come to see your honor.
Wow.
I've been putting it out there for like 3 months.
Wow. Wow. Mr. Green, you hit a young man talking. Really? He's going to do it like that? Okay. Well, like I was saying.
Go ahead, Jazz.
Look, New York, they got back Cantor, and they got back McDermott and a second round pick for Mr. Carmelo Anthony. They got back dog shit because they gave away dog shit.
Enes Kanter is going to be a very solid piece down on the low block to let Porzingis create space and to work with Porzingis down low. That's a very solid piece.
When he's healthy.
Doug McDermott, I mean, he's nothing more than a Kyle Korver knockoff. He's really good at the coming off the screen and hitting a spot of three, but that's all you're going to get out of him, which, again, will help spread the floor for the pick and rolls and for Porzingis to operate with space. So, again, it helps.
Uh-huh.
Second-round draft pick is useless because everybody knows once you get out of the top, like, 20 picks in the draft, it's a crapshoot anyway.
True.
So, I mean, that doesn't help. But, I mean, honestly, this is, like I was saying, this is more of a statement from the Knicks than anything other than the firing of Phil Jackson that they've done all year. And it's our experiment with Carmelo Anthony failed. Our experiment with Phil Jackson failed. We're cleaning house. We're going to rebrand. We're going to refocus. Porzingis is the guy moving forward. We're going to build around him and his skill set, and they're going to move forward.
Well,
and I think that's the right
move. I do have a question. Who is the point guard for the New York Knicks?
Jose? No, it's not Jose Calderon. I have no idea.
Jose Calderon? Oh Lord!
I don't think he's been with the Knicks for a couple of years. Well, that's the last point guard. Oh, Derrick Rose was there last year. Never mind.
Well, yeah, but Derrick Rose in Cleveland now.
I have no idea who their point guard is. Oh, didn't they just sign or draft that kid from like Europe?
The 18-year-old kid.
He's a foreign, like he's from overseas and he's like a phenom over there, kind of like the Ricky Rubio hype.
Okay.
We'll see if it holds up.
But with him being drafted by Phil Jackson, who was gone a day or two later after making that draft pick, which I have no idea why Dolan allowed him to even make that pick and make that commitment to him to play in the triangle, which has been pushed to the side as well. This whole revamp, redo, rename is just mind-boggling. It really is.
I have to
let me take Mr. Jazz to task. Carmelo Anthony has not had the support around him since he has been in a New York Knicks uniform.
Man.
That's right. I'm going there.
Really?
Okay. And for the last 3 years,
man,
he's been trashed by Phil Jackson. You know, you guys.
He shouldn't have took the money.
It's easy.
He shouldn't have took the money.
You're going to tell somebody, let me tell you something. If somebody's offering you money, you're going to tell them, no, I don't think so. Give me a little bit less. Come on, Jack.
Okay, that's what Kevin Durant did. That's what Kevin Durant did early this year.
I don't care what
LeBron did to go to Miami.
Kevin Durant was already on a winning team. He's on a winning team.
He could have went to the Bulls.
This contract was made up 5 years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago. If they didn't want to give him that money, if they didn't want to agree to the terms of his contract, they shouldn't have brought it to the table and allow it to be signed. I'm sorry.
They didn't have no problem with giving him the money. The problem is Carmelo didn't earn his money. The bomb.
Why did he earn his money? He didn't come there to – but it's easiest for people outside of New York to say he's a bum, he's shit, he's this, he's that. But when you're actually in the system, you see him play night in and night out, and you see the group around him, you have a different perspective of the game. You have a different perspective of his game and what he brings to the to the court and whatever everybody else doesn't bring to the court. So it's easy to see that outside of New York. And that's why a lot of people outside of New York, Mr. Jazz, consider him to be an inferior player, a piece of shit, as you said.
He is an inferior player.
Hey, oh, I don't think anybody's – okay, Jazz is calling
you
him inferior player.
You got me
player.
Riled up tonight.
I don't think he's an inferior player. I just don't.
He is an inferior player.
He never.
He's
was
ISO Joe without a jump shot. That's what he is.
Carmelo Anthony has scored. Hold on. Carmelo Anthony has averaged 20 plus points per game every single year of his career. That's not.
He takes
50
shots though.
Absolutely.
He takes all the shots.
Him.
He should average 20 if he's taking 40 shots.
But he was doing that in Denver when he had granted it was an aging AI, but he had pieces around him to try to help in Denver before he demanded to get out of Denver.
What they do in Denver?
He's
nothing.
He's not as good as he should have been. And what we all thought and hoped he would be when he got drafted, he never lived up to that. But to say he's inferior is a little insulting.
He's inferior.
But ESPN came out with their rankings, and he's like the 64th best player on
the
league.
You really
going to
bring ESPN is a joke. Let's be real.
I agree. But Tony's kind of right here. The perception of Melo and his image has got such a dump on that they think there's people out there that think Lonzo Ball right now is a better NBA player than Carmelo Anthony. And that's crazy.
I ain't going to go that far.
That would just be throwing gasoline on fire.
You know, I ain't going to do that.
Rank Carmelo Anthony then. Is he top 20 in the league? Is Carmelo Anthony a top 20 player in the league?
No.
Get out. Just go home.
Absolutely not.
Name me 20 people better than Carmelo Anthony.
We don't really have time for that. That's for another show. But
okay. Let me ask you this.
Is he? What option is he in OKC? The first, the second, or the third?
Probably the second.
So you think?
I think he's the second. I think Paul George will be okay being the third option. I know Russell Westbrook's not giving up the ball and the responsibility.
Nope.
So he's going to continue being the number one. And I do think by the end of the year, Carmelo Anthony will take more shots than Paul George. And it won't be by like five or six. It'll be by a significant number. So I do think Carmelo Anthony will be the second option in OKC.
Okay, I can see that, Louie. I can see that. I'm going
to
ride with that.
Paul George is about to get the Chris Bosh and Kevin Love treatment. He's about to get told, you're the best consistent three-point shooter of these three. You're going to hang around the wing and hit open threes on offense. And then when Carmelo and Russell Westbrook need a break, he can run the offense. And that's when he'll get most of his scoring in.
Okay, so the moves that OKC has made, does that at least make them top five in the Western Conference?
I think so.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
The other thing we're not talking about is Steve Adams still down in the post. He's a very he's not superstar, he's not all-star quality, but he's a very solid fourth option for them down in the post. So
I agree.
You know, the biggest question mark for me is, are they going to have somebody playing the two who's going to be a 3-and-D type player to help spread the floor and then guard the best guard option? Because because Westbrook and Anthony are two of the worst metrically defensive players in the league last year. So you need somebody to play defense on the wing on the other side. So who's going to be that defensive wing player? Is it going to be Paul George stepping up and defending the wing, or is it going to be a Roberson who has to step up and play an Avery Bradley type role?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, this starting five is going to be Westbrook, Roberson, Carmelo, George, Adam. But my biggest thing about what OKC has done is the fact that they brought in George and got rid of Sabonis and Oladipo. Then you get Carmelo and you get rid of Cantor and
McDermott.
My man McDermott. So what, you know, I kind of look at him like Boston. Where's your bench at? Because you got to have a bench.
Yeah, but see, your bench can get filled up by the, I mean, this is an awful name to throw out there, but your bench is going to get thrown out, filled up by, like, the Darren Williams, Richard Jefferson.
Oh, God.
You know, yeah, but, I mean, but that's kind of, I mean, you're going to be taking those guys who get cut, you know, the older veterans who get cut and then just want a chance to compete. They're not going to, you know what I mean? And honestly, Melo's used to it. Paul George is used to it, and Westbrook are used to playing almost 40 minutes a game. Now that you have all three of them, you may not have to. So you may be able to spread them out enough where offensively you're okay, and you just pray that you can put some together enough defense to not kill yourselves.
Yeah, but how do you have an offense? How are you going to run an offense when three of your main players are all isolation guys? How do you run an offense like that?
Ask Cleveland. Ask Miami. Ask Cleveland. It worked somehow. It worked. The Hawks did it for 12 years and made the playoffs every year. Not, I mean, they never contended, but, I mean, they did it.
But it's going to be interesting to tune in and see how they make it all work.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Jazz. I personally don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's going to work very well for them. It's not going to work as well as they're hoping. But it can be done. They're all three of them are good enough isolation basketball players to make it work.
But remember, the two teams that you named both had head coaches that command respect. I just can't see Billy Donovan commanding respect. I just don't.
Well, see, but Billy Donovan's to me one of those quiet guys that we don't know if he's got respect in the locker room or not. Everybody seems to love OKC, the guys that are there. Like, Enes Kanter posted this whole thing on Instagram about how much he loves playing for the Thunder 3 days before he got traded. So, obviously, there's some love there, whether it's to the coach, the organization, or to the fans. There's some love there from the players that they want to be there, they want to play. Is that Billy Donovan, or is that just them kind of – or is that them just saying some words because everybody in OKC feels slighted by KD still? I mean, we don't know all that, but – I think Billy Donovan's got a good enough grip with that team. I mean, now you're adding in an ego like Melo, who wants be the man. And you're adding in an ego in Paul George, who has said over and over again, I hate playing for small city teams. I want to go to L.A.
Absolutely.
How are you going to balance those two out with Russell Westbrook? It's going to be an interesting process. I'll definitely be watching. But I think it works. I think they're a top five team in the West.
So then in that case,
well,
then let me ask you this thing.
The season is going to open up with the Knicks and OKC. So that's going to be a highly watched game.
Oh, that should be nice. I had to watch that. That should be on NBC. Okay, I'm going to have to watch that one. But
yeah,
I mean,
OKC.
But now let me ask you this then. So if that's the case, then if you're going to have, then where do you put teams like, because I'm not sure who the other four teams are that are better than Oklahoma City. Where do you
Golden
put
State,
teams like?
I was going to say Golden State, Houston Rockets, San Antonio Spurs, OKC. I have OKC fourth now.
Okay.
And then basically five through eight turns into the Timberwolves.
That's what I was about to ask you. Where do you put Timberwolves, the Portland Trail Blazers, New Orleans, Dallas, those teams? Where do you put those teams?
Dallas and New Orleans are like 7-8, maybe 9 in that range somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like the Timberwolves. If those guys mesh, I mean, they could be the fifth team. They could be a 5-6 in that range. Portland's probably going to be in that 6-7 range.
Where do you put the Clippers? Clippers and the Lakers. Where do you put them?
I got both of them missing the playoffs. So they're probably 10-11. Clippers might be right there, the 8 spot. The Lakers, I don't think the Lakers are good enough quite yet. They're still going to be relying on a young Brandon Ingram and a really young Lonzo Ball to kind of lead that team. I still think they're a year or two away from really being competitive. So, I mean, they're probably sitting like 12.
I have the OKC at number four as well. But the, speaking of the Clippers, it's going to be interesting the direction they take without Chris CP3 on there. I mean, his sidekick hasn't been healthy a whole season. I mean, I can't see them above seven.
I think losing CP3 and not getting a true point guard, like somebody – they don't have anybody to handle the ball. I know they want Blake Griffin to kind of be more of a ball handler and the focal point of that
offense.
Still
got Rivers. I mean, he's going to be the primary ball handler. He's going to be the guy.
And if that's, I mean, if he can be a floor general and not worry about scoring and they can get over whatever locker room crap between him, his dad, and the money and all that, then it might work.
True.
I don't think Austin Rivers is going to command respect out of the team. It's going to have to be Blake Griffin saying Austin Rivers is our guy. But I don't know if Blake Griffin's a good enough offensive piece with the guys around him to get them more than a 7-8 seed. Maybe a 6.
Well, now remember, Doc Rivers is not president of the operations no more. He's his coach.
He's still the coach. He's still going to be in the locker room, and he's still.
Yeah.
If everybody's already feeling that he's showing favoritism to his son, that's not going to change just because he's not signing checks anymore. That just means that they're going to say that he's giving them minutes because that's his kid.
I go with that. Yeah, that makes sense. I go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see how OKC work. I'm kind of, when I heard it, I was like, okay. But I'm just not really. I just don't think it works. I think that George is already in LA. I think that Carmelo's like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna try to ride it out. But I think him and Westbrook gonna bump heads. I think that Westbrook gonna be like, you know what? If this is the best you can do, as far as getting me help, yeah, I might. I think Westbrook stays.
Melo's got what, 2 years left on his contract, Tony?
Melo's got 2 years left.
This year or next year? He's got this year or next year?
Right.
If it doesn't work, Paul George will bounce, and they might buy out Carmelo and then tell Westbrook, we're going to go sign the best. Like, give us a list of your top five free agents, and we're going to go
get
them.
Can you make a run at him?
But okay. I think he still has a contract out there that's not signed, if I'm not mistaken. He hasn't signed.
I think when KD left, he signed like a 1 year extension. This is his year. That after this year, he's no longer under contract.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Could be interesting. And and if it doesn't work out, you have two pieces in Paul George and Carmelo Anthony that are the trade deadline. There's going to be a team in contention who needs scoring that might be willing to pay a nice price to get somebody like one of those two to help be a second or third option on offense. And you get
one
whole
of those
bunch
trash
of
players,
right,
Jazz?
Well, now, before we go off the air, I wanted to ask you guys, what do you guys think about Dwayne Wade possibly going to Cleveland? Is that a, are you guys good? Is it okay, do you see that improving?
That already happened.
Already done?
It was supposed to be any time, at any minute now, last I heard.
It's being reported that as soon as he gets cleared, he'll clear waivers tomorrow. And as soon as he clears waivers, he's already agreed to terms to sign with the Cavaliers for, like, the veteran minimum.
Absolutely.
Right. I heard it was going to happen.
It'll happen either
tonight or tomorrow.
Late tonight. Yeah, it'll happen probably
tomorrow.
I don't know if waivers clear midnight tonight or when they clear.
Mm-hmm.
But, it'll happen within the next 24 hours that he's going to Cleveland.
Right. That's what I heard because –
I don't think he helps. I don't think he helps that much. He can't play 30 minutes a game anymore. He's not an explosive slasher and cutter anymore. And even though he showed better three-point shooting last year, he's still a very inconsistent three-point shooter. And he's not as quick defensively anymore. Like, he might be a good piece coming off the bench for him just to give him some extra depth. I just don't know if he's got enough left in the tank to help offset what they lost in Kyrie.
They work good together, though. I mean, in points-wise, I think that with Derrick Rose and Isaiah, if Isaiah comes back, I think that you get the points. I don't think you get his total points, but I think you get close to what Kyrie was giving him with less shots, in my opinion.
Do you think Dwayne Wade's good enough to be the backup quarterback? And is Dwayne Wade good enough to be a backup point guard? Because at some point in the season, Isaiah Thomas is going to get hurt and miss time, and Derrick Rose is going to get hurt and miss time. So who's going to play point guard? Is it Dwayne Wade? Is it Amon Shumpert? Is it J.R. Smith? Is it Corver?
Well, now, last year, Derrick Rose, if I'm not mistaken, he played most of last year. He didn't miss a lot of games last year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. And if he played 70 out of 82, that means he only missed 12. So I'm okay with that, because if I got to do the first half with Rose until Thomas gets healthy, now I got my guard situation looking pretty good right now.
Okay, but if Thomas has to miss an extended period of time to start the season, is Dwayne Wade good enough to be or is LeBron going to have to be the backup point guard?
That's
my thing.
Yeah.
You're getting it. You got an Isaiah Thomas who's coming off a major hip injury, and I hate to keep egging on to the guy because of his size, because I think he's a great player. He's a baller. He does what he does. Dude is 5'9", 115, and 30 years old. Like, I don't think he's going to last too much longer, especially, you know, I mean, he'll get a little bit taken off of him now that he's in Cleveland instead of in Boston, where he's no longer the main threat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he keeps taking hard screen stuff like that. I mean, he's a little guy and he's getting up in age. It may not end well for him. So who's going to be your floor general if he can't play? Your best option is LeBron.
Yeah, I mean,
your best option
is
LeBron, but then you're going to have to take LeBron off. That takes LeBron either out of the post where he has been working on his game, or out on the wing cutting where, you know, his game thrives, and you got to turn him into Magic Johnson, basically, which he can do it. It changes the complexion of that team.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah, I definitely agree. But I mean, you know, I look at Dwayne Wade the way I look at Darren Williams. When the finals come around, Golden State gonna look over there and see you. Like, okay, you're the one this year. Darren Williams was last year, you're the one this year.
Yeah.
We're gonna exploit
you. They're gonna make old man Wade step up and try to relive his glory days. And do it. If he can do it, like, Cleveland just got an excellent piece for real cheap. I don't know if he can do it anymore. I don't think he can.
He can't do it on back-to-back night.
Oh yeah, he showed that last year in Chicago too that he never developed enough of a consistent jump shot to change his game to keep being effective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an intriguing. I mean, they're going to put themselves back into the situation they were in last year. They don't have they don't have consistent three-point shooting. And against the Cleveland Cavaliers or against an OKC team or a Houston Rockets team that's going to hit threes at a high clip,
Yeah.
You're not going to keep up with them unless you're playing lights out defense. And again, you don't have a lights out defense.
Well, they restarted Culver, though. They restarted Culver. You know,
like Culver's been trash the last 2 years.
I mean,
he said defense.
I mean, okay, yeah, so Culver shoots consistent threes for the 8 minutes a game he plays. But he's also given every point he scores, he's giving it up on the defensive side of the ball. So it's a wash.
Exactly, defense.
Amon Shumpert plays solid defense, but can't score, hasn't figured out how to put the ball in the hoop since he left New York. So
well,
I have no idea. I mean,
he can dunk.
Oh, are you sure? That, are we still sure about that?
I mean,
are we sure?
I mean, he missed
a
few,
in a while. I haven't seen it in a while, so I'm left putting that up in the air. I'm just – this Cleveland Cavaliers team looks a lot like last year's team, except for your starting point guard's almost a foot shorter than your last one. It's the same makeup still.
Okay, so –
They lost a big piece when Kyrie left. That's a big piece that they're –
physically and in the locker room, that he was a big piece. Yes.
Yeah, you could. But,
I mean, Isaiah is a better 3-point shooter, numbers wise, than Kyrie. I like Kyrie's 3-point shooting enough that I really don't think it's that big of a win. But they're the same player defensively. They're the same player offensively.
And he's cheap.
You got a couple of. He's for now, but Isaiah Thomas's contract's up this year, and he's already said that you better bring the Brinks truck. So
that's he could leave.
Cleveland
it doesn't
looks
matter.
The same to me.
The thing is, you freed up the Kyrie money. That's
what I'm saying. For this year.
Mm-hmm.
But what'd you do with it? You didn't do anything with it. You brought in. Who did they get in the Kyrie deal? Crowder a part of that, or was that Bradley
Crowder,
part of it?
Yeah, Crowder.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
Bradley went to Indiana.
Okay.
Detroit,
so
I'm sorry. Detroit.
You got a Jameson Crowder who has never really been an offensive piece but plays solid defense.
Yeah.
So he's a Mon Shumpert, but younger. And the team looks really similar. I don't think the changes really helped them at all. They still need to go dangle out and go get like a Boogie Cousins or swing it in Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
They
may be basically the same.
So let me real quick, because I know we only got 3 minutes. Hey, Miss Tony, Giants winning this week? Giants winning this week, Miss Tony?
Yes, they are, Jazz. We got to cut that losing streak and win.
For the hopes of my fantasy team, I hope you're right. I really need Eli to start playing more consistently.
Okay. You're starting Eli, dude? Really?
No, it's a two-quarterback league. I didn't draft quarterbacks until late. It's either him or Jacoby Brissett. I'm debating going Jacoby
Brissett
this week.
Start Brissett. Eli's trash. Trash.
Yeah, you know, we gonna have some problems with this mic of yours because I can't hear you. What are you saying? Huh? I couldn't hear you.
It's okay. It's all right. Hey, Louie, is Atlanta winning this weekend?
I don't see why not. I don't remember who they're playing, though, off the top of my head.
Does it really matter? They're undefeated. Does it really matter?
Oh, no, it matters. It matters because this is not the same. They're not playing the same as they were last year. The offense isn't the same. The defense looks pretty similar, but the offense isn't nearly as explosive that I've seen so far. I definitely think it matters. Oh, they got the Bills. They should win. They got the Bills at
they
home.
Still
they win. Never
they're
mind.
Still winning. They're 3-0 because you could be on 3 like the Giants. So they're winning. They're 3-0, baby.
Well, I mean, you got the Bills
you're still with my Giants.
I mean, you got a Bills whose best receiving option is Charles Clay, the tight end, coming into town.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
as long
I'm trying
as
to
you
pick
don't
him
lay
up,
an egg.
Absolutely.
Me too. as long as Matt Ryan and the offense doesn't lay an egg and throw 3 picks like he did last week against Detroit, I think they'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, the Giants are playing the Buccaneers, and your Raiders are playing the Broncos, Jazz.
Okay. Oh, Raiders take the L, Giants get the win. Raiders take the L, Giants get the W.
There you go.
Okay. It figures you would say that. That's okay. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I don't really like my team right now anyway. That's fine.
Amari Cooper still hasn't figured out his drop problem. Like, he's one of five guys that have been targeted more than 20%, 20 times this year, and has a drop rate above 50%. So
yeah, I'm not surprised.
Him and Dez are on that list. So
yeah.
He hasn't figured out the drops issue that's been plaguing him since he came into the league. Michael Crabtree is a good chance to not be at 100% this week.
Oh,
and as much as watching Beast Mode dance around like a fool on the sidelines the other day a couple weeks ago he hasn't
trash.
He's been trash. He hasn't brought anything to that. He hasn't brought anything to that offense.
You should have bought Murray.
It could be a very interesting week for that Raiders offense.
Okay, one quick question because I know we're about to go off the air. Better wide receiver, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham.
Oh, jeez. Are you talking just pure skill?
Like, whatever you want
to.
However you want to judge.
Oh, man, I hate this question. Can I have both?
Okay. We'll table it for next week. That's the table is next week because we got to go off the air. Thank you guys for listening to the scoreboard. And Miss Tony, thank you again. Happy anniversary to Mr. Tony.
thank you.
Louie, you my dude. Thank you for coming out. And I can't wait to talk to you again next week. And do the Twitters and the Facebook and all that, please.
Do the Twitters. The Twitters, guys. Follow us on the Twitters, please. We might Twitter you back. Oh, Jazz. Can I handle the... Look, Jazz, you're going to have to learn the correct terminology to do the sign-off, dog.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not good at that.
Hey,
I'm really
just for one last shot before we come out the air, I take both of them over Antonio Brown. So... There we go. I'm out of here.
Damn.
Drop the mic.
And before we go, I want to ask everyone to also go out and vote. Les Chant has been nominated for an award next month, as well as WRP Promotions. I'm going to be in Atlanta in a couple of weeks. I'm actually going to be on a panel, Jazz, so I'm going to be talking some major talks. People
actually
listening to what I have to say.
Okay.
If they really wanted the ratings, me and you'd be there too, dog.
You know, I ain't good at it.
Even signing Eli's a bum t-shirt for the fans as they walk by.
I curse too much. I curse too much in real life. I don't think that'll work.
Well, I'm going to send the link out. Please put your vote up for Lisa and I on the chat so we can get that win, get that award.
You will get all the vote.
Once again, thank you so much. Thanks for joining Jazz, Louie, and myself here on the scoreboard. Like we said, we'll be back here next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. talking that talk. And Mr. Green, please call us. We miss you.
Ms. Green ain't calling.
He'll call if they win, if they blow out whoever they're playing this week.
Yeah. You might be right. Mr. Green, I never thought you had it in you like that, man.
Yeah, leave my Mr. Green alone. That's my Mr. Green now. But thanks again.
Yeah, just like it's your Eli and it's your Carmelo, and I know. They're all yours.
And with that, we are signing off because Mr. Jazz has hit his hat tonight.
All right. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.